worship you, Jesus. We wait expectantly for you, Jesus. And we try to wait patiently for the work of your hand, for our testimony, for our restoration, for our healing. And we just say to you this morning, we trust you, God. We trust you as we wait.
Hear that today, church? That's not just music. That's breakthrough. The same power that God filled an upper room of 120 people with is the same power that's filling this room today. It's the same power. It's the same power that's filling the rooms of every person watching online today. It's the same power. He didn't fill them just to leave them. He didn't fill us so we could be thrilled that we got filled. He filled us not to thrill us, but to unleash us. It wasn't for something for us to hold on to. It was for something for us to release and give out. So you're not supposed to just lean back in the pew today or lean back on your chair with coffee from home and receive it. Because when you receive it, you're supposed to go out and give it and unleash it. It's an empowerment. It's not for us to hoard inside of us. It's for us to release. So today, church, you're going to hear a message here in a few minutes from your pastor. And it's an order of release today for all of us. Because God has deposited something in each and every one of us. And it wasn't deposited inside of us to be held inside of us. Today, you're going to see your breakthrough show up. But you're going to have to be active about it, like Pastor Nicole just talked about. We wait and we wait and we wait, but there's going to be a time where we're going to have to react to the waiting. And you're going to learn that today. The power of heaven shows up when we react. God's going to do that today. 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 This is the day. Somebody shout back to the pastor, let's go. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray, Father God, for the release today. I pray, Lord God, for the series that Pastor Mike and I have been preaching, Let Loose. Lord God, I pray as you release us today. I pray, Lord God, that everything that you have deposited in us is released, Lord God. That the empowerment, the filling, Lord God, wasn't just something that we're going to be thrilled with. It's going to be something that we release, Lord. And God, I pray that that is today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at somebody today and say, today's my day of release. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Well, good morning. Today is my day of release. Amen. Amen. So good to have everybody here this morning. Welcome. In the house, if you're joining us online, welcome. My name is Pastor Mike, and I have the privilege of serving here as one of the associate pastors along with my wife, Christine. And just wanted to greet everyone this morning and just say it's so good to see each and every smiling face. I have to wear my glasses sometimes to see you, but that's okay. I can still see you. So good to be back in the house of the Lord this week. We're so thankful also to have our pastor back in the house. Amen. Can we just give it up for Pastor Brad? I'm looking for the signal. You know the signal in the baseball games where they do the call to the bullpen? I'm looking for that signal just at any time I need to come up. I'm ready. So, hey, if this is your first time, I want to welcome you to Cross Point Church. We want to bless you. We want to make sure that we connect with you. We want to give you a gift as well. And if this is your first time, welcome. One of the easiest ways that we always encourage you to connect with us is if you just take your phone out, swipe, open your camera phone. You can take a little QR code that's right in front of you. Just take a little picture of that. It'll send you right to a link. and you can connect back and forth and respond back and forth through texting. That's just a great way. It's our digital connect card. You can also, you can see your bulletin if you're in the house, and if you have a physical copy bulletin, that's what you walk in when you get one of these. Looks great, right? So that's also on there as well. So again, that's just an easy way if you're a first-time guest with us, just to be able to connect with us, let us know you're here, who you are, how can we serve you, answer any questions. We can correspond back and forth. It's just a great, great tool that we have. And if you're in the house as well and you do that, we would just encourage you, take that, take your phone and just show our VIP center, which is just outside the doors in the foyer, and they want to bless you with just a little gift box. It's just something to say, thank you for being here. We love you. We want to bless you with a little Chick-fil-A gift card as such. So again, just as if that's your first time here, thank you for being here. We always say it this way. If this is your first time and if you're looking for a home church, we would say prayerfully consider to make Crosspoint your church home. And we're so thankful that you're here and joining us online as well. So just thank you so much. I want to just give an update on giving. When, you know, when we, as believers in Jesus, we want to follow that principle and that be obedient in our tithes and in our offerings. And that's one way that we can show our appreciation and show our love and show our devotion in that way. But we can do that in a few ways. You can just scan the QR code that's on your bulletin. If you want to do it digitally, you can do that. Super easy way to do that. You can also do it if you have the Church Center app. It's a great resource and tool. I would encourage you to do that. You can give through that as well. You can do that on our website as well, cpoint.church. You can go right to say give online. And then we also have our traditional giving stations in the back. So if you're in the house this morning, you can do that as well. So just a couple updates for this week. I want to make sure that everybody remembers and knows that we have concluded our journey night for the summer. So we are not having any Wednesday night meetings for the rest of the summer until we come back in the fall. We're taking about the month of August off. So I just want to remind you that there's no journey nights. That has concluded. The only thing that will continue is any youth event, not our normal Wednesday night youth group meeting. So just be aware of that. So if you come, I'm sorry, right? There's nobody going to be at the door to open the door for you. But we'll put some signs up just to make sure if you know somebody that maybe not here today, pass that information on. So our journey nights have concluded for the summer. We'll come back in the fall. I'm excited to announce, and again, I've been announcing this for the last few weeks, would you please be here next week? Next week, Sunday, August 3rd, we're going to have a special guest speaker, Joe Jackson. He's going to be with us, and he is a Assemblies of God National Evangelist. And he will be blessing us with his presence. He's going to be ministering to us. But we also have something at 8:30. All you early birds, come on now. Join us at 8:30. We're going to have a continental breakfast right back in just on the other side of the building here. And we're going to be just joining and fellowshipping with one another. He's going to be probably answering questions and all sorts of things like that. And we would just love for each and every one of you to come and to be a part of that breakfast. What I ask of you, though, is that you would just scan a QR code to let us know that you're coming. We don't need your name. There's no tickets or anything like that. We just need a number. That way we have plenty of food to share and fellowship with one another. And so, again, we're excited. Would you come back next week? Would you be here? Bring some friends. I know it's Hall of Fame weekend. We're excited for what's happening. You know, every year our city is kind of in the spotlight, and we want to just make sure we can do what we can as a church to not only just direct that spotlight back on Jesus and to really shine for our city and community in that way. So if I missed anything, church, if I missed anything, would you do me a favor? Just refer to your bulletin, check our Facebook page, check the Church Center app. It's a great resource for each and every one of you. And I'm so thankful to see each and every one of you. God bless, church.
Goodness, I am forgetting. I've been gone too long. I started walking up here, and Pastor Mike didn't do the announcements yet. And I'm thinking, boy, I tell you, I don't know what I'm doing anymore, right? Hey, welcome in the house at Crosspoint Church. If you're watching online, Facebook, YouTube, the online church at cpoint.church, or listening to this podcast throughout this week, thank you so much for joining. Now, I've got to ask a favor of all of you right at the beginning, right? You know, I've been out having some surgery the last couple weeks, and, I'm about 60%, my wife would say about 30, But, you know, she's been watching this thing going on in the last 2 weeks, and I thought the first week I was going to be just dead and buried. You know, it's just my throat started to swell shut. I couldn't swallow, and oh my gosh, it's, you know, I had neck surgery, and you know, it's been hard to get back to talking. And some of you say that's okay, you know, right? No problem. So get my body moving again, and so you know, I'm just asking for some you know grace today, if you don't mind. Give me some grace. I'll probably take a chug of water here. Thank you, Charles, for remembering the water. He takes care of me on Sunday mornings, gets my water for me and whatnot. So everybody, you know, what else is going on? You okay? All right, hey, listen, you know, the pastor's been out of the office for a couple of weeks having surgery. And, you know, I just want to say thank you. My goodness, the text messages, the emails, the calls, you know, the call in the 2 o'clock in the morning. I didn't need that time, but that thank you for it. Anyways, right? You know, but the soup, wow, the soup was really good. Thank you for the soup. That was really good. When I think I was out one soup, someone shows up, some more soup. So, you know, we were getting all souped up, right? It was good. And then, you know, I come back to the office, and, you know, I stopped in the other day, and I check in on things. And thank you, Pastor Mike and Pastor Christine, for, you know, Pastor Mike did a great job. Do you not? Yep. Thank you, Pastor Mike. Pastor Christine kept all the stuff going on in the church, and, of course, Pastor Amber and all the staff continue to do what we do around here. We serve. And even when the lead pastor is unavailable to serve for a week or two or what have you, you know, we continue to serve. I just am so blessed. Thank you so much for the staff here and everything they do and everything that we all do together as a church family. So, you know, we had VBS here the first of the summer, and that was great. And, you know, when I come into VBS, you know, there's a picture of me on the yellow submarine, right, out in the foyer. I wonder who did that. Right? So, you know, so I'm thinking, all right, you know, so then the next thing I find out, you know, after VBS is over, I come into my office and there's that picture up on my door. Okay, we'll just leave the picture there, right, Nick? We'll just leave it there, no big deal. Well, I come in the other day and the picture's still there, but it's been updated. And this is the update, if they would show, there's the update. Yeah, there's the update. I've got a cervical neck collar on. Right? I had to wear that crazy thing for 10 days straight, sleeping. They let me take it off when I was laying down flat and in my chair, sitting in my chair. I couldn't move. I wasn't allowed to move, but I could take it off, right? My wife was policing me, right? Anyone have a wife that polices? You probably shouldn't raise your hand, right? Right? She polices me. I had to wear that crazy thing. I said, I'll show it to them today. No, I decided not because I didn't need to because somebody in my church office created the cervical neck collar to update the pastor's picture on his door, and nobody will take responsibility for it. What kind of church am I in, right? But I have a feeling. I have a feeling it was a collaborated effort between Pastor Mike and Pastor Christine. I got a feeling, right? Because I sent out a blanket text, a text to the staff, and I said, hey, who's responsible for these shenanigans, right? Who would do this to the pastor, right? And everyone, you know, the people responded. And then there's one, this Pastor Mike, I plead the fifth. I plead the fifth, right? So I'm not sure, church. He knows this. Pastor Mike says, I know my rights, right? Well, thank you so much, church. Thank you so much for your prayers and everything you've done. You know, we are concluding. You know, I thought about, well, do I come back today and preach and conclude the series? Or do I wait and come back in the middle of August, because Joe Jackson will be here next week, and I've been talking to Joe, and he can't wait to get here, and it looks like Jared Allen, the current inductee into the Hall of Fame, may be showing up with him, so you want to be here for that. Unless they reserve his schedule, it looks like he may be able to show up. So we'll have a former NFL player in the building preaching to us, who's an Assembly of God evangelist, and he just might have with him Jared Allen being inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame with him. We'll see if that works. You just never know on the weekend with Hall of Fame weekend what the schedule going to continue to morph into, right? So you could do something if you want him here. Just pray, right? Just pray. Pray that Joe gets here safely and there's no problems with the airlines and all those things. It's all those people coming into town and whatnot. So we're going to be blessed next week. So I just thought, well, I want to come back and preach the final Sunday to the series that Pastor Mike and I have been doing together. And Pastor Mike, again, thank you so much for jumping right in there, right in the middle of it, and preaching down fire here on those two Sundays. We'll talk about that in a second. Now, we're talking about this Let Loose series. It's about our movement, church. It's about us moving into what God wants us to do. If you want to follow along today, you could go to your Church Center app and click on the sermon notes, and you can watch along and follow along and take your own notes if you want to right there on the sermon notes in the Church Center app. In the next few days, you could follow along as we put out a devotional each day on Monday through the rest of the week on the sermon from today. You can follow along and participate with the church staff and I on a devotional based on what I preach on today. So let's just do a quick review, if you don't mind. Week one, we talked about coming forth in this series, and we used the example of Lazarus. And, you know, Jesus went to the tomb and commanded him to come forth, and he came out, and Pastor Mike even talked about it last week. He was filled, you know, he still had all the garb on from the burial. You know, that's how they did. They wrapped him up like a mummy, and that's what they did, spices and whatnot. And they would, that's how they buried him, right? But Jesus said, come out, right? Come forth. And it wasn't just a resurrection that day. It was a recommissioning, a new assignment. Because we talked about that he was going through the countryside after the fact, and he was going to let everybody see that he was alive, right? And then answer those questions, and just his mere presence. But, you know, he had to take off those grave garb, and he had to go forward, right? He had to move forward, and that's what we talked about. Right? Lazarus was not just resurrected, he was recommissioned. See, God calls for those things binding us from advancing to be loosed. And then he calls for those things that he has deposited inside of us to be used for his glory to come forth. And every one of us here has those things inside of us, right? Week two, I said, you know, we talked about let it flow. That's no holding back. Some are walking through life holding back because their faith is determined by how others see them. We need to stop waiting for everyone else to validate what God has already anointed in your life. You don't need their accolades. You don't need them to give their approval to what you're going to be doing. God has already done that with you. Move forward, right? Week three, Pastor Mike jumped in and led us with the break the box message. I was watching online, and that was a rough day for your pastor, but thank the Lord that Pastor Mike did a fantastic job. God is calling us to break free from spiritual limitations, religious expectations, and personal fear that keep us from pouring out everything for him. As he's messaged, or as Pastor Mike led us that day, God calls us to let loose and break that box of reputation, fear, tradition, self-preservation, or whatever holds you back. Break out of that, right? You can't give Jesus your all and still try to stay neat, safe, and polished. Sometimes you got to get a little dirty, right? You'll never fully let loose until you stop worshiping people's opinions. Thank you, Pastor Mike. Pastor Mike continued the week forth. He led us on catch the wind, and then he used the analogy of the wind is, of course, like the spirit. That's the analogy, right? He led us on catch the wind. The move of the spirit isn't always predictable. It's wild, fresh, and requires flexibility and requires obedience. And the greatest hindrance to the next generation having a revival is the previous generation's revival. It's got to look like this. It's got to look like that. It's got to be just like that. Remember that time? No, it's not. God can do something brand new, fresh, however God wants to do it. It doesn't have to look like it when I was a kid or you were a kid. It doesn't have to be the same, right? But when the wind starts to blow, you better catch the wind or you'll miss it. See, we don't direct the Holy Spirit. We just respond to him. Revival is led by the Spirit, not our plans. You know, it's okay to have a structured church. It's okay to say we start at 10 and try to get out between 11:15 and 11:30. But I'm going to tell you something. If the wind of the Spirit starts to blow, we're going to be here. I don't want to leave. Right? Church, we don't need more programs. We just need more wind, right? So today, we are going to move into, the message title is Unleashed Power. We're going to take those first 4 weeks and put them all together. Before this day is out, we're going to do a Holy Spirit release. But there's some things that kind of stand in our way when we do that, and we're going to talk about those things today. Have you ever heard the phrase, I've been quiet too long? You've been quiet too long. God looks for people that say that. God, I've just been quiet too long. I've been sitting on the sidelines too long. I haven't been engaged. I've been quiet. I got to move forward. And God's looking for you today. God wants you. He wants those kind of people today, church. Because that means whatever he deposited inside of you, you've stood on the sidelines long enough. And now you got to move out. See, I used to think staying quiet was safe. This is just your pastor. If I didn't speak up, I couldn't mess up. If I didn't move, I couldn't fall. If I stayed small, maybe I wouldn't be targeted or expected to lead or do anything. See, we concede and keep our spiritual walk quiet and polite. It stays in a box. Thank you, Pastor Mike. Therefore, our faith remains passive. Our prayers are quiet. Our dreams remain buried. We watch others walk in fire while we sit quietly in what could have been. I call that regret. And we feel like there's something off, right? It's just not right. And every day we go through this feeling like it's just not, I feel it, but it's just not coming together for me. Church, it's not gone. The power inside of you is not gone. It just is bottled up a little bit longer than it should be. We're just kind of holding it back with a lot of things that Pastor Mike talked about a couple weeks ago. We just kind of make it there, except for today. We're not going to do that any longer, right? Let me give you a little story about a guy named Jeremiah. The prophet Jeremiah, right? You know Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, right? Now there's a guy that had some things bottled up inside of him. Let me give you a little bit of background if you don't know. If you know, then just follow along. But this guy was called by God to send a message to Judah, the southern kingdom. And the kingdom was divided, north and south. Start to repent. You're not living right. And so for 40 years, he's sending this message. It's constant. And they rebel against him. They lock him up. They ridicule him. They beat him. They throw him in a well. They throw him in a cistern. They do whatever they can. He's just buried in mud. They're just, you know, this is going on year after year after year. He prophetically ministered through 5 separate kings with the same message. Repent. God is at hand. You're not doing the right things. And if you know the story, finally at the end, of course, God sends the Babylonian Empire to come and take him and just wipe him out. Is what happened. Why? They didn't listen. But this guy didn't stop the message because people weren't listening. This guy continued to hammer home the message. He was isolated, publicly ridiculed, scoffed at, scorned at, laughed at, beat. But he didn't stop. And he gets to a portion of the scripture that I'm going to read to you. He gets all this built up. I can't take it anymore. It's all inside of me. I'm still going to say the word. I'm still going to proclaim the message God told me to do. I'm not going to stop. It doesn't matter what it looks like out there. Inside of me, I can't take it anymore. And so he pens Jeremiah 29. His word was in my heart like a burning fire. Shut up in my bones. It's got to get out. It's got to be unleashed. I can't take it. I got to keep preaching it. I can't let it stay there just because I don't think that people are receiving it. They'll never receive it if I don't preach it. If I don't tell them, they'll never hear it. And so he lived like that. He was called from a very young age. I think Jeremiah 1:5. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure it says there. It says how young. He's a young kid. And he stayed on the path all those 40 years or so of his ministry, his prophetic ministry, preaching that message. See, church, when you're really being ignited by God, you just can't stay passive. You can't stay silent. You feel the tension, the fire, the weariness of holding it back, and then you finally let loose. You can't take it anymore. But some of us never get there because we say this thing. We have this excuse. And let me tell you the excuse. Pastor, there's a mountain in front of me. I can't get around it. There's something in my life that I just can't get around. Jeremiah had ridicule and public abuse and scorn and public humiliation and beatings and all that. But he still kept doing it because it burned inside of him. But some of us say, Pastor, there's a mountain in front of me today. I just can't get around it. I just can't figure it out. See, church, we spend much too much time focused on the mountain. It wasn't meant to be a mire. It just wasn't. God, you know, these mountains that are in our lives were never meant to be admired. They were meant to be avoided. Sometimes we can't figure out how to get around them. Right? It was meant to be moved. Church. Right? So we stay silent. Because we've convinced ourselves that this thing in our lives, or these things in our life, they just can't move. And today I'm going to teach you how you make a move. Right? Surgeries or what have you, right? Whatever it is. You think it's going to keep you down forever. Right? See, we don't realize sometimes that what God's placed inside of us was never meant to stay inside of us. And then the enemy will put something in front of us, like a mountain or something, and then we can't get that thing inside of us out because we think this other thing is blocking it. Let me tell you something, nothing blocks God. Nothing blocks heaven. We block heaven. We'll convince ourselves that something's immovable in our lives, right? We can't hoard it inside of us. It was never meant to stay inside of us. It was meant to be released, right? Heaven's going to release it. We just need to declare, I've been quiet too long. I've been still too long. I've been restrained too long. I can't take it anymore. I'm going to move out. You know, like Jeremiah, our church should be crying this. Our church should be crying, I'm being unleashed with power and purpose. And convince yourself that nothing's going to stop you, like Jeremiah. I'm not going to be stopped. I don't care what they do to me. A word in your mouth and fire in your bones. I'm not holding back. I'm not staying quiet. I'm being let loose. Church, we allow the devil way too much respect. We allow the devil way too much time. We allow the devil to mess with us way too much. We allow that. We want to release something. God's got you in a place of time, in the exact moment. He's got you where he wants you. And we look at the mountain more than we look at God. The mountain's bigger to us, right? See, church, your voice, when aligned with God's word, carries heaven's authority to move mountains and walk boldly in the power for a purpose. Like, there's like this purpose. That's what this series is about. There's something that God's got to let loose in you. Lazarus could have stayed by the tomb, and he still would have been alive, but he would have been dead. Because that's not why Jesus raised him from the dead, to hang out by the tomb and wallow in self-pity. I have an assignment for you, right? You ever notice, church, when somebody realizes they've got authority? I was watching, you know, anyone watch like the History Channels and they see the animals and they go out on the Africa safari and they show all these animals, right? So I'm watching it this last week, you know, laying in my chair where I spent a lot of time. And I see this one. You see this baby lion being born. And it's like they're being, you know, all the mom and dad lions, you know, the dad lion, right? The king of the jungle. Don't touch my kid. No one touches them, right? And that lion acts as meek and vulnerable as you can imagine, right? Young lion. But as I'm watching the show, I notice something. At one point, that lion realized who the lion is. I'm the king of the jungle. That's my dad over there. That's going to be me. I shouldn't be living in fear. I shouldn't be living vulnerable. And I noticed that that baby lion decided at one point, I'm bigger than this. I'm stronger. I'm not going to lay here. Something's going to happen. And it's amazing how I watched that show, that baby lion figured it out. The shift from silence to confidence is what this series has been all about. That baby lion was let loose, unleashed in power. In church, that is you and I. Let me give you another story. How many know William Seymour? Know that name? Pastor William Seymour, right? Pastor William Seymour, if you don't know the story, was the pastor that was had this burning, this welled up inside of him, feeling that the power of God needed to be released in the early 1900s, that people weren't walking in power anymore. They needed this release to unleash their power that God had for them. And a lot of that came from the spiritual baptism of the Holy Spirit that we believe in today. One of the doctrines of our fundamental truths here at the Assemblies of God, we believe that. We believe in Acts chapter 2, right? The outpouring of God's power with the initial physical evidence of speaking in another tongue. We don't shy away from it. We embrace it. Well, this guy, early 1900s, is saying, why aren't we doing that? We're losing and missing all this power. So with a time in our country's history where there's racial problems and much worse than today. There's not much. It's back then, right? It's not right. We've got power from on high that could come in here, Pastor Seymour. And so he decides that he's going to do something about it. He can't stand it. He's got to be unleashed. And he ends up at a mission in Los Angeles, California, on Azusa Street. Sound familiar? He's going to be unleashed. I believe the address was 312 Azusa Street, but don't quote me on that. It might have been 315. I'm strictly going on memory. And my memory's not the greatest this morning, but it's around there, right? But I know this. It was an old, dilapidated building. It ain't much to look at. Ain't much going on there until somebody showed up and says, no, God's got something for me inside of me, and I got to unleash it, and I'm going to show up, and I'm going to preach it. And he starts to preach. And if you know the story, the power of God showed up and was released through him. Why? Because I've got a willing heart of a guy that shows up and says, I'm going to do what God's called me to do, and nothing's going to get in my way. Jeremiah showed up in the early 1900s. God poured out his power on that man, and the Azusa Street revival broke free. And for 3 years, from 1906 to 1909, the power of God showed up in that dilapidated building. They had three services a day, every day, for 3 years. Someone say praise God. Right? Three services a day, every day. Somebody needed something to release. And today, the Assemblies of God and many other Pentecostal movements trace their roots back to that day. The largest Pentecostal church in the world is the Assemblies of God, and you're sitting in one of them in Canton, Ohio, or watching online. 600 million people trace their roots now back to the Azusa Street revival and that outpouring. Their lives transformed and released into power. Because a guy says, I got to unleash this, what God's put inside of me. What would have happened if he said, no, I ain't going there. That church building doesn't look that great. They don't have fancy screens and online and all this cool stuff. They don't have this stuff for back then. But that's a building. It didn't need any of it. because God was going to use it anyways, because some guy showed up and says, God's called me here. He was unleashed on that day, right? See, church, I believe God has reignited something inside of all of us these last few weeks. And now he says it's time to let loose. It's not just about worship. It's about purpose and moving in power of the Holy Spirit. See, it's more than emotion, church. I'm not talking emotion. This series isn't about hype. It's about releasing what's been held back inside of you. That's something that God's deposited inside of you. You've come forth. That flow is begun. The next step is to move with intention and power. The same thing Jesus did, right? Jesus is teaching his disciples in the scripture. Let me paraphrase it for you this morning. He's on his final trip into Jerusalem. He's teaching his disciples. Days before his crucifixion, he's got some things to say, wouldn't you think? He sees a fig tree in the distance. Remember the story? All kinds of leaves, but no fruit. From a distance, it looks great. From a distance, it looked really healthy. But you saw there was no fruit. It could look healthy and bear no fruit, then it has no purpose. And what does Jesus do? He cursed it. No fruit. He's teaching his disciples something here, folks. You can look great from the outside, right? Of course, there's references to Israel and all kinds of things in that story, but he's teaching the disciples. And they noticed the next morning the tree was dead, withered up, right? And they're amazed, the disciples, how fast it happened, because he cursed it. And Jesus recognized they're ready for more teaching. Of course, you know the story. He goes in and he throws up the tables in the temple and he's doing all those things, right? He's teaching his disciples, just like he's teaching us today. But he realized they're ready for the next step. They're ready for something else. I'm going to teach them something else, and I'm going to teach the same thing to you this morning. Mark 11, 22 through 24, it says, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, it's going to be done for him. Jesus is speaking on faith, authority, and the word. He's teaching them. And so he decides to use a mountain. Why? Well, he's using a mountain because in Jewish custom, mountains are huge, just like today, and they're unmovable. And when he's doing this right here, and this scripture is penned, the Mount of Olives is behind him. Anybody know about the Mount of Olives, right? It's big. And so there's a reference for them. Move that mountain? Yeah, you could move the mountain. What do you got to do? You got to speak to it. What? He's teaching them a concept. It's a biblical concept. It's not prosperity concept of I want more money. It's not what it is at all. Some preachers have used it for that. It's not a prosperity thing. We're not talking about money. We're talking about faith that creates, speaks, and expects. He's teaching that concept. He uses the mountain because that's something they had the reference of because it's right behind them. And they have reference of this mountain. We can't move that mountain. You absolutely can move the mountain. But he's not talking necessarily the physical mountain. He's talking about the mountain in your life that's holding you back from what God has deposited inside of you to be released, unleashed in power. That mountain you have convinced yourself cannot be moved. In fact, the scripture says when it says doubt, it's talking about hesitation, separation inside. I can't do this because of this, is what it's talking about. I can't do this, Pastor, because of this in my life. Oh, betcha, right? Betcha. You can do it, but you got to do something to make it happen. And this is what he's teaching here, folks. He makes the comment, does not doubt in your heart. Don't hesitate. Don't make the separation inside of yourself where I can't because of this and all those things. That's called inner division. He's trying to teach us that. There's inner division. What's that? Flesh and spirit. If flesh says, ain't no way. The Spirit says, there's always a way. Are you going to embrace it today? And Jesus is teaching. And then he says, will be done for them. He's talking faith, of course. But there's two things to that faith that he's teaching us. It's the speech and the expectation. Speech. We always have the expectation, right? I believe God's going to heal me. If not by supernatural, but by surgery, I'm going to be whole. Whatever it is. But he's teaching us something else, church. He's teaching us you've got to speak it to receive it. Speak to the mountain. Speak to the mountain. Mountain can't speak back. Speak to it. Right? It's not just what we believe, church, but what you believe as you speak it activates the power of release. And Jesus is saying, I'm going to teach them that today. See, church, we weren't meant to climb every mountain. Some were just meant to be commanded. We hear all the time, I got to go through the mountain, I got to go around the mountain. I'm just here to tell you, he's teaching you how to command the mountain. Be in the sea. He's teaching a concept here for us. We're not let loose just to feel something, church. We're let loose to change something. You're here today to change something. There's a mountain. God's got some deposits inside of each and every one of us, and some of us have a mountain in front of us saying, we can't get around the mountain, we can't go through it. Well, guess what? In a few short minutes, you're going to command a mountain today. What? Yeah. Why? Because Jesus said to command the mountain. And if Jesus teaches his disciples to command the mountain, we could command our mountains, right? You heard a testimony a few weeks ago from Jeannie Schatzer, who was healed, divinely touched from heaven of a brain situation, right? And why did that happen? And she'll be the one to testify, because she did. She'll tell you, I commanded a mountain. Jeannie, I know you got to be out there somewhere. There she is. She commands a mountain. I don't care what it looks like, Pastor. I don't care how bad it looks. I don't care what they say. I don't care. I will command that mountain. And she commanded it. Right? Church, these mountains must be confronted, not respected, right? We need to stop giving the devil so much credit. See, Jesus doesn't just tell us to climb the mountain or sit at the base and cry. He says to us, speak to it. We spend way too much time wallowing in the mud of the mountain instead of just speaking to the mountain for its release. I wonder how much time we would save if we spent more time speaking to it instead of crying over it. Right? The authority that we have in Jesus. What's the mountain? It could be fear, guilt, rejection, right? Someone compares you to somebody else. It could be an addiction, whatever the mountain is in your life, right? We look at the mountain as an obstacle, while God looks at the mountain as an opportunity. Pastor, I can't get around it. I can't do it. There's the opportunity to do what, Pastor? To speak to it. I'm going to speak to that mountain today. Before I leave this sanctuary or turn off my device today, I'm going to speak to that mountain. Because everybody in the house today and everybody online, as they watch the pastor preach and they hear, you've got the mountain that you're thinking about in your very life. Whatever the mountain. God's going to allow you to speak to it today in a few minutes, right? You don't negotiate with the mountain. You speak to it in Jesus' name. Church, that mountain will always yield to Spirit-led authority. Always. Church, you got to realize the power in your words is backed by heaven. It's not you that has the power to do it. Jesus didn't say in that scripture, you're going to have to do this. He just asked us to speak to it. And he'll do the rest. It activates your faith. You finally decide, I'm not going to allow that thing to hold me back any longer. I refuse. 40 years for Jeremiah, or one day for somebody else, it doesn't matter, right? Your speaking words are backed by heaven. The Holy Spirit gives more than just feelings. It gives boldness to speak. Look what it says in Acts 4:31. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, as I referenced earlier. And what? They spoke it. And how did they speak it? With boldness. I'm not holding back. I'm going forward. The birth of the church is going to happen. This is what's going to do. I'm going forward to preach the gospel, to proclaim the kingdom, to proclaim my healing, to proclaim my finances, to proclaim my marriage, to proclaim my family. I want my family saved. Whatever the case, you're going to speak it. And God's going to release it. See, a spirit-filled believer with a closed mouth is like a loaded weapon never fired. It's time to declare what God has spoken. Heaven backs his word, not silence. Right? Speak to those things. Church, your spiritual authority, it's got to be exercised, not just admired. Right? Luke 10:19 says, I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy. Jesus teaching again. See, Jesus sends out 70 people to go by the countryside and do a couple things. Start healing people and then proclaim the kingdom of heaven that's here, and he's the kingdom. And he launches these people. He releases them to unleash the power that he deposited in them. And then they come back amazed. And why did they come back amazed? Because they said when they came back, we couldn't even believe that the demons of heaven from hell tremble by heaven's power. How do they tremble? We just spoke your name. And by speaking your name, they trembled. That's all they had to do. They didn't have to do anything else. Speak it. Because the authority shows up in the name of Jesus and flows and unleashed through your power, through you. By speaking it, right? Jesus gave them the authority, but he asked them to go walk into the authority. He released them, and they didn't stay there. They went to the countryside. All of them. He deposited his authority inside of them, and they didn't stand there admiring their power. They went out to release it. Now, I'm going to tell you, folks, you know that a few of them had some issues, right? The disciples had a few issues. I'm not going to get into all those issues. You know, right? They had some struggles of their own. Jesus didn't care about those mountains because he's not subjected to the mountain. And because his authority has been placed inside of those, each and every one of his disciples, the 12 plus the others, they could go out and do whatever they wanted. And so they listened. I wonder if there's anybody like that here today, right? I wonder if there's anybody in the house today or watching online that will walk in that kind of authority, right? See, church, I believe many believers are just saved but stuck. They're authorized, but they're inactive. That verse that I just read, I have given you authority over the powers of the enemy, is your permission to move out. Your release. Right? You don't need to ask for power. You've already been given power. You just need to go out and use it. You don't need to ask for more. God's already let loose power in your life. It doesn't mean that we are out of control. It just means we're under authority, and it's going to be activated when we speak it. See, church, many believers admire authority, but they don't operate in it. They pray for God to move their mountain, but they don't speak to it. The greatest attack we will experience is the attack against your unused authority. The enemy doesn't want you using your unused authority that's deposited inside of you. The enemy doesn't want to see you do that. So the attacks are going to show up, and the attacks are going to show up until you use the unused authority that's already inside you. And then the enemy is subjected to your authority in Christ Jesus. That's how it says, church. I didn't write it. I'm just preaching it. That's what it says. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. to speak it into existence, right? See, church, Satan isn't afraid of us shouting anymore. He's not afraid of a shouting church. He's afraid of a spirit-led, obedient, faith-declaring church. We're not dangerous until you stop holding back. This series wasn't just to excite you. It's about unleashing you. You weren't just filled with God's power to survive. And that's where some of us live, church. Filled, thrilled, just to survive and get you through another day. It's not why you were filled. Church, we don't need more confirmation. We don't need any more approval. We need to move. We need to speak. We need to walk in what God has already put in us. The Spirit doesn't just dwell, He drives. Somebody want to drive today? It's not inside of you to reside in the inside of you, right? It's not, God didn't fill you to leave you. And the mountain that you face is not an immovable mountain. It's a mountain to be commanded. We have series and preaching all about these types of scriptures, but I think sometimes we forget that Jesus is teaching to command it so and not figure out a way around it. Yeah, we know we got to go, you know, we know all those good biblical sermon series and teachings and all that, but I'm just telling you, Jesus says to speak it. Right? If you want something unleashed in your life, the Spirit's going to drive right along with you. This series about letting loose is unleashing what God has reignited inside of your life, and we need to unleash it. So, church, I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that this morning. I'm going to ask the worship team in a few short moments to start playing. And I'm going to ask Cross Point Church to come down to an altar. And if you're watching at home, I know there are so many watching at home. You could do this at home. You just make your altar where you're at. And you go and surround the altar or kneel down wherever you're at home or the coffee shop or wherever you're watching or listening from today. So many people. And I'm going to ask you to speak to that mountain. I'm going to ask you to verbally speak to it. Finances, you come under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. My marriage is under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ today. These situations that are hindering my home, I release them in Jesus' name. Speak to the mountain. Look at the mountain in the spiritual dimension, and you speak to it verbally. You tell the mountain who has the authority that's been placed inside of you. You don't need to ask for more. You don't need to go back to heaven and say, Lord, give me more authority. Jesus Christ gives you the authority. But you got to release it when you speak it. Church, stand with me. And I'm going to ask you to start making your way down to these altars. Just make your way down. You're going to come down here, and I'm going to ask you just to start speaking to a mountain. You don't need to worry about somebody next to you. They've got their own mountain to speak to today. And then you're going to leave here today a changed, released person. I don't care what the mountain is today. You don't need to share it with me, but you need to speak it out verbally because there's that mountain. And I'm going to tell you what, you want God's power to be released and unleashed inside of you. You want Him to let loose everything that He's put inside of you. Church, come down to the altar and speak to the very thing that you feel is holding you back. You're an altar worker here at this church. I need a favor from you today. As you see people going down and they start speaking to those mountains in their lives, I'm going to ask you to make your way down. You found somebody and just lay hands and agree with them. Just agree with them that they're going to move a mountain today in Jesus' name. Church, let's clean house. Let's end this series by releasing what God has deposited inside of you. Let's speak to those mountains today. Scripture teaches us that the mountain in your life is cast when you speak to it. I pray that you're speaking to that mountain today, church. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord. Father, I speak to every single mountain that's represented at this altar today. I speak in Jesus' name, every single mountain that's represented on every single person that's joined us today in our online churches, Lord God. I speak to those mountains. Lord God, I pray right now that you release, let loose whatever you have called each and every one of us to do. Lord God, if we're not doing it, release us to do it. Lord God, let us step up and don't even consider these mountains that we have built in our lives. Lord God, I speak to them all in Jesus' name. I speak to the health mountain today, Lord God, that I can identify with, Lord, more than ever. I speak to that mountain of health, Lord God. I proclaim health on Cross Point Church today in Jesus' name. Those people, Lord, that are seeking a power from on high and a baptism, Lord God, I speak to that today, Lord God. Let them receive what they seek today, Lord. Father God, I pray right now for that marriage that struggles, Lord. I speak to that marriage today. Lord God, let us not look from human eyes, but let us look at each other through the supernatural eyes of Jesus. That although we have many, many faults, Lord God, I pray that our spouses look at our hearts and don't look at our faults. The mountain there, Lord. I pray, Lord God. I pray, Lord. Lord God, I pray for Cross Point Church. I pray, Lord God, to the mountains that hold us back, that we think we can't accomplish something because it's something in our way, I speak to that mountain to remove it and cast it into the sea. For the mountains in the way of the pastoral staff, Lord God, I speak to them right now in Jesus' name. I don't care what the mountain is. It's under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, and I pray that that mountain is removed. For the staff of this church, Lord God, I pray their mountains are removed. For the leadership of this church, Lord God, I pray that the mountains are removed and they are released in power today, Lord. I pray for each and every one of the people that are here today and watching online, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that they allow the spiritual authority that you deposited inside of them to be released now. They don't look at the mountain anymore. They just look to the eyes of Jesus Christ. We don't need the mountains. We don't need to concern ourselves with the mountains. Lord God, I command every single mountain that affects this church to be removed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, give them praise. Church, I hope that there's something on the screen behind me because I want you to recite something before you go home. I want you to follow along. Please repeat after me. I am unleashed with power and purpose. I speak with faith, not fear. I confront every mountain in my way. I move by the Spirit. I live with heaven's authority. I will not hold back. I am released in Jesus' name. Amen. Give a praise to the church. Church, now as I release you, go home. Listen. Don't go home and fall back into silence. Wake up each morning and speak the word and command the atmosphere around you. And declare that you are moving mountains by faith. Speak to the atmosphere of the day that there is nothing that's going to get in your way today, not by any of your authority, but by the authority inside of you by the Lord Jesus Christ. Command it today, church. You are unleashed. Now go walk like it, talk like it, and live like you are released in the authority of Jesus Christ. Give him praise. Hallelujah. I pray as we close the service today and the worship team sends us off that your testimony today has been changed to being released in power. Now go walk in it. God bless you.